welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. To celebrate Mother's Day this year, we have two half-hour shows. First, a lighthearted look at Mother's Day with Life of Riley. He thinks Junior has forgotten his mother on Mother's Day, but watch out, Riley will figure his way out of it. After that, we have a sweet and sentimental drama from Family Theater. First, this is Life of Riley, Junior Forgets Mother's Day, first broadcast May 11th, 1946, on NBC.
Teal for a beautiful smile, the Life of Riley for laughs. Teal, T-E-E-L, Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice. That's it. T-E-E-L. Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, brings you The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal, and just for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, in The Life of Riley. Chester A. Riley, father of 13-year-old Junior Riley, is very proud of his son. But Riley's pride is often deflated by his friend Jim Gillis, who is also the father of a teenage boy, Egbert. Right now, we find the two fathers admiring a special window display in Witherspoon's drugstore.
Yes, sir, Riley. That there window is a masterpiece. You get the angle, Riley? It's advertising Mother's Day.
Yeah, sure, I get it, Gillis. And that's a good idea they got, spelling out mother with aspirin tablets, huh?
Yeah, it's a great plug for motherhood.
Yeah.
It'll help kids remember the day. Of course, my boy Egbert don't need no reminder. Like some kids I could mention.
Gillis, you wasn't referring to my boy Junior, was you?
Oh, no, 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 no. But if the shoe fits, you might as well swallow it. Now, my boy Egbert never forgets his duty. He's got a memory like an elephant.
Yeah, and a nose to match.
Very humoresque. All I know is he already got his mother a genuine imitation leather purse. What's your Junior getting his mother?
Well, I'd better run along.
Riley, you mean your kid ain't getting his mother nothing?
Don't you worry about my boy. He'll come through.
But ain't he said nothing about it?
Well...
Oh, that's a bad sign. Riley, any man that don't bring up his boy to do right by his mother is a failure as a father.
Who's a failure? In the 13 years that Junior's known me, he's never had a better father. Most likely he's got a present hidden in the house right now. Well, sure, that's it.
I hope so, for your poor wife's sake. But you better make sure.
Listen, I trust my boy enough not to spy on him. Where does your Egbert usually hide his presents?
Well, this year it's up the chimney. Yes, sir, Riley, like father, like son. Now, I was brung up to respect the sanctity of motherhood. My Egbert is cast in the same mold.
Well, don't you worry about Junior. You'll find out that my boy's even moldier than your boy.
Gosh, this chimney is small. Let's see. Nope, not a sign of a package any... Got some soot up my snoot. I'd better take another look.
Riley, for heaven's sake.
Oh, it's you, Dumplin'.
What are you doing in that fireplace?
Well, I'm looking up the chimney to see how the weather is outside.
The weather?
Yeah.
Full of all the crazy things. Why don't you look out through the window?
Well, I did, but I couldn't see the weather on account of the rain. Is Junior home?
Oh, yes. I wish you'd speak to that boy. I'm trying to keep the home extra neat while your mother's here visiting us. But he keeps messing it up. He's so forgetful.
Yeah, he's getting forgetful about a lot of things. Well, I'll have a talk with that boy that he won't forget.
Oh, now don't be too cross. Remember, you forget things, too.
Don't worry, I'll be fair. First, I'll let him speak his mind, and then I'll give him a piece of my mind. And believe me, he's going to get the worst of the bargain.
Mm-hmm. Junior, I...
Oh, hello, Pop. Say, you want to hear a swell song? I'm going to sing it in a gay 90s show my club's putting on. Now listen.
Oh, okay. How's it go, son?
Always help your dear old mother.
Oh, beautiful.
Always treat her kind and good.
I had you all wrong, Junior.
You must always hold the lantern while your mother's chopping wood.
Junior, what kind of a song is that to be singing about your mother?
Well, it's a comedy song. Now listen to the second verse. Uh-huh. Don't forget your dear old mother.
That's better.
She's so delicate and frail.
Bless her heart, she's worn out.
She is thinking of you always while she's serving time in jail.
Junior, I'm shocked. Making fun of your own mother. The sweet woman who's always taken your part. Why, on the day you were born, when she looked at you for the first time and saw your little red, homely, wrinkled face, did she blame you? No, she blamed me.
But, Pop, you don't get the idea of the song.
I get it. You're like all the younger generation. Young. Why, when I was your age, I worshipped my mother. I used to hang her up on a pedestrian.
Pedestal, Pop.
Junior, you and me gotta have a man-to-boy talk. Sit down.
I'm sitting down already.
Well, then get up and let me sit down. Have some respect. Now, listen, Junior. It's time you were told certain things about certain things.
Pop, again with the birds and the bees.
Well, there's lots you can learn from the bees. For instance, bees are very kind to their mother. They call her Queenie, and they go out collecting honey while she sits home with the hives. Ain't that touching?
Yeah, Pa. It's thrilling. So what?
Bees respect motherhood, and their mother is nothing but an insect. But you're lucky enough to have a mother who's a human being. I made a careful marriage.
Pop, what are you driving at?
All right, let me put it clear. Why ain't you shoved anything up the chimney?
Chimney?
It's hopeless. You certainly don't get your head from me. With a head like mine, you'd get the point.
Pop, I gotta go now.
Egbert Gillis remembers. Even the drugstore remembers. Everybody remembers but my son. Well, I'm through hinting. I'm going to tell you the right thing to do and see that you do it.
Ah, Pop, you act like I was a baby or something, always yelling at me. Oh, I'm going out.
Now, wait, Junior, don't you go away.
Chester Riley, are you picking on my grandson again? Now, run along and play, Junior, darling.
Thanks, Grandma.
Now, wait a minute.
Land sakes, always yelling at that sweet, innocent child. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you big baboon.
Gee whiz, Mom, when I was a boy, my father...
Ah, your father's mustache.
But, Mom, suppose a boy forgets his mother on Mother's Day.
Oh, so that's it, is it?
Yeah, and I know how a mother feels when her son forgets.
You do, do you?
Yeah.
Have you ever been a mother?
Well, not lately.
Well, I have, and I am. Chester, a mother doesn't want her son being bullied into thinking of her. She wants him to do it because it's natural to him. Or not at all.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But you see, I was thinking...
Well, stop thinking. At your age, it's no time to start.
Oh, Mom, you sound like you don't love me anymore.
I've loved you for 39 years, and now I can't break the habit. Bad as it is. But you're not to nag Junior about Mother's Day again. Promise?
Well, okay.
You're not to even mention Mother's Day. Be like those three little monkeys that hear nothing, see nothing, and say nothing.
Okay, I'm going to be just like them. From now on, there's going to be four of us monkeys.
Hey, sis, guess what I got, Mom? Nylons.
Oh, gosh, nylons. Oh, Mother will be thrilled.
Look, hide them for me, will you? I don't want Pop to know I bought a present till Sunday.
Why not?
Ah, he thinks I forgot. I just want to show him. Gosh, as though I'd forget my own mom. Oh, the phone. I'll get it, Babs. Hello? Oh, hello, Walleye. What? A new catcher's mitt. $5. Gee, I sure need a new mitt for the big game on Sunday, but I'm busted.
For me, Junior?
Oh, no, Pop, it's for me. What, Walleye? Oh, I said I'd like to buy one for Sunday, but where am I going to get $5? Santa Claus ain't due here till Christmas. Well, so long.
Junior, did I hear you say you needed some money?
Yeah, why?
Oh, nothing. Only now I'm beginning to understand why you
Boy,
didn't...
Boy, I sure could use some dough. I want to buy...
Don't tell me. Listen, Junior, guess who I just bumped into on the corner?
Who?
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Yeah. Well, he's a little early this year. You know, daylight saving. He gave me this $5 bill to give to you. Here.
Huh. You're giving me $5?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, now I can buy...
Don't tell me.
Pop, is this on the level? No strings attached?
No strings attached.
You mean I won't have to do like last time you gave me $5? You know, sign a paper saying I'll mow the lawn for the next 20 years?
No, it's yours outright. And buy what you want. And I guess you know what to buy.
Huh? Oh, do I? I'm going down right now and buy it.
Tell me.
Okay, Pop. See you later. And thanks a million.
Yes, so long. Poor little fella. Imagine thinking he'd forget his mother. Look at him. Running down the street. You'd think he was after a present for himself. Come on in, Gillis. Coast is clear. Everybody's at the movies.
Listen, Riley, what's so important? You come over my house, yank me out of bed, dress me, and then drag me over here.
Well, I'll tell you why, Gillis. You intimidated that my boy would forget his mother on Mother's Day.
Okay, so he bought her a present.
I'm going home.
Wait a minute. No. I'll show it to you, you wise guy. I ain't even seen it myself yet. He hid it in the closet here.
He bought his mother a present. Very unusual boy. You should have him stuffed.
Here it is. Look at the size of this package. Next time, Gillis, don't go shooting your big mouth off about other people's wonderful kids.
Riley, if there's one thing I hate, it's a father who brags about his kid. I'll be running along.
Oh, no, you don't, Gillis. Oh, no. You started this, and I'm finishing it. I'm opening the package right now.
Look, I believe you. Now let me go back to bed while the sheet is still warm.
Not until you see this present that Junior got for his mother. This'll show you how I raise a boy. Look at that, a catcher's mitt. Just what my wife... Right, a catcher's mitt.
Well, what do you know? So the little darling bought his mother a present.
Right, well, I must have forgot to mention it, Gillis. You know, Peg is taking up baseball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What team?
Team? She ain't playing right now. She's got a Charlie horse.
Face the facts with your face, Riley. Junior spent his dough on himself instead of on his mother. That's the kind of a boy you raised. As the saying goes, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
And this apple's got a worm in it.
Next time, don't go shooting your big mouth off when I'm shooting my big mouth off.
Oh, how could he do this to his own father? After all I'd done for him when he was a baby. The times I used to get up in the middle of the night to change him. Well, so help me, I'll never do it again.
Teal has just brought you the first act of The Life of Riley, and we'll be back with Riley in just a moment. Meanwhile, this is Ken Carpenter. You know that only Teal, of all the leading dentifrices, protects your teeth from ugly gum-lined cavities? Here's why. Out of every 10 adults, 8 have receding gums, and when gums recede, parts of your teeth are exposed which are 25 times softer than tooth enamel. Now, those softer parts are easily damaged by daily use of toothpaste or powder containing harsh abrasives. So chances are 8 in 10, you are risking those ground-in cavities daily.
unless the dentifrice you use contains no such abrasives. Only Teal, the modern liquid dentifrice, cleans teeth without abrasives, cleans with a patented ingredient, protects teeth from gum-lined cavities as no other leading dentifrice can. The Teal way takes one extra minute a week to make teeth look their best safely. Follow directions on the package, and remember, large family-sized Teal saves money. T-E-E-L, Teal, the tangy, refreshing liquid dentifrice. And now back to the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, poor Riley was afraid that Junior will forget his mother on Mother's Day, but he's vowed not to remind the boy. Actually, Junior has bought his mother a gift, but is keeping it a secret. Now, Riley has a subtle plan to make sure Junior comes through.
Hi, Pa.
Junior, you see this package? Well, I happened to be passing AZ's swap shop, and I saw something in the window that's just what you needed. So guess what?
You bought it.
Well, how did you guess? You're getting just like me, psychopathic. Well, here it is.
Gosh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a fancy case. Uh-huh. Can I open it?
Well, sure. I sure hope you like it, too.
Oh, for Pete's sake. A lady's manicure set. Now, what do I want with this?
Junior, you're absolutely right. Now that I see it in good light, I see it's for ladies only. Well, if you can't use it, you'll just have to give it away to some lady who can. If you know what I mean. Now, who will you give it to?
Well, I think...
Don't tell me. Just give it to her.
I don't know, Pop. Maybe you better take it back.
But, Junior, think. Ain't there one woman who loves you more than anything, and vice versa?
Yeah. Yeah, she's wonderful. She'd like this set, all right.
Sure she would. And I bet I know who she is. Her name begins with capital M.
Gee, how'd you guess?
Oh, at last.
Yeah, I'm going right over and give it to my girl, Marilyn.
It's a losing fight.
Who there? Is that you, Riley?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
What are you doing around here, Digger?
Oh, I'm on my way to the offices of the OPA. I want to complain about some prices.
Oh, you mean ceiling prices?
No, no, this is a different OPA. The Official Pallbearers Association. They've just increased our carrying charges. You've got to watch your step with those boys. One false move and they drop you like a hot potato.
Well, that's just business troubles. It's family trouble that's the real headache. Diggers, there ain't another father that has as much trouble with his boy as I do.
Oh, you must not envy other people, Riley. In my profession, we have a saying. The grass is always greener on the other fellow.
Do you have trouble with your boys, Digger?
Oh, indeed I do. Yesterday, my youngest son, Clay, pilfered a sign from the baseball stadium and hung it in the window of my business establishment. Oh, I was furious.
Well, why? What did the sign say?
Double header today. Ladies free.
Well, that ain't as bad as my junior. Today is Mother's Day, and he forgot all about it. And today is the day.
Oh, how could he do such a thing? Ah, Mother, serving your dinner on the mantelpiece after Daddy has spoken to you with a paddle? Giving you a homemade haircut with a cereal bowl? And forgetting to remove the oatmeal? Sitting by your bedside when you're itching with poison ivy? And helping you scratch? I adore mothers. They're so great.
So Well, that boy should be taught a lesson.
Oh, now, Riley, don't spank him. Okay. Approach him from another direction. Shame the lad in front of the whole family. Humiliate him.
Digger, you've got it. That'll earn him respect. What'll I say?
Expose him as a monster of ingratitude.
Monster of ingratitude.
Who bites the hand that feeds him.
Bites the hand that... That's just what I'll tell him. Oh, thanks, Digger. You're swell. You're always straightening people out.
Let's not talk shop. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
What a lovely blouse.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you, Angel.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. This is for you.
Nylon! Oh, Junior, darling, you remembered.
Of course he did, Peg. You don't think my grandson would forget his mother.
Oh, of course not. But it's still wonderful to think that he did.
Mom! Peg! Babs! Junior! Everybody line up.
Oh, Riley. What do you think, Junior?
Say no more, Peg. I know just how you feel. Everybody on this side of the room, except that Junior.
Why, Riley, what's the matter?
Please, do what I say.
But, Pa...
Stay where you are, Junior. Look on him. There he stands. For 13 years, his mother has been feeding him with her own hand. And now he's biting the monster.
Talking about?
I'm talking about a son who forgets his mother on Mother's Day.
But gee whiz, Pop,
It's too late to make excuses now.
I'm not making excuses. I got Mom a present.
I don't care if you did get her a present. You should have gotten her a... you what?
Why, he gave me these lovely nylons. Chester, you stop picking on my grandson or I'll bust you one.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Junior, you gave her a present? You really love your mother?
Of course he does.
What a revolting development this is.
Oh, Dad.
Oh, is your face red?
Yeah, well, it's my tight socks.
Now you apologize to Junior.
Oh, forget it, Pop.
But I only meant it for your good. Any son who forgets his darling mother on Mother's Day ain't human.
You're right, dear. Now you give your mother her present.
And I'll go further. Present?
Daddy, you forgot.
Me? Don't be silly. Well, as I was saying before I was interrupted, any son is liable to forget his mother on Mother's Day. It's only human.
Well, Chester, I'm waiting for my present.
I ain't human.
Oh, I'll get it for you, Pop. It's right here, under the couch.
Junior, please, keep out of this. I get your... Hey, what's that package?
Pop, stop kidding. You know, it's that swell manicure set you got for Grandma.
I did?
Why, Chester, for me? Oh, you darling. And I thought you'd forgotten.
Not my Pop. He bought this special for Mother's Day. Didn't you, Pop?
Oh, Junior. Bless you.
Oh, Pop, put me down.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were my mother. Here, Mom.
Yeah, you darling. You didn't forget your poor old mother. Oh, Chester, bless you.
Oh, Mom, put me down.
Riley's will be back in half a minute. Why risk cavities at the gum line? Cavities ground in by daily use of toothpaste or powders containing harsh abrasives. Teal cleans teeth without abrasives, protects teeth from such cavities. Enjoy Teal tonight. T-E-E-L, Teal, the refreshing liquid dentifrice.
Junior, it was swell of you to come through the way you did for me. I thought you gave that set to Marilyn.
Nah, you don't give your girlfriend a present on Mother's Day.
Yeah, it ain't etiquette. Junior, you're a real pal. You didn't let me forget about a present on Mother's Day. So in appreciation, I'm going to do something for you.
What, Pa?
I won't let you forget about a present on Father's Day.
Procter & Gamble, makers of Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, invites to be their guests next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. William Bendix appears by arrangement of Hal Roach. The Life of Riley is produced for Teal by Irving Brecker and is directed by Don Bernard. Music by Luke Kozlov. Don't miss the June issue of Radio Mirror Magazine, which features a big story on The Life of Riley with pictures of our cast. That's Radio Mirror Magazine at your newsstands now. This is Ken Carpenter on behalf of Teal, inviting you to listen again next week. And remember, for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, and for lovely smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, protects teeth beautifully.
It's a washing miracle for silks, nylon, woolens, dishes.
What are you talking about?
Dreft. I'll spell it. D-R-E-F-T, Dreft. Yes, ladies, and Dreft spells faster, brighter, safer cleaning than any suds before in history.
That's true. Take lingerie, for example. Why, Dreft keeps my dainty underthings fresher and brighter than even expensive soap flakes.
Right. You see, Dreft is different from soap. Dreft's rich suds rinse clean and clear. They simply can't leave any sticky deposit the way all soaps do. No wonder Dreft keeps lingerie, stockings, new woolens prettier and brighter far longer than any soap could ever do. With Dreft, there's no soap fading.
Yes, and for washing dishes, Dreft is just unbelievable. Why, Dreft makes my dishes shine even without wiping. Every woman knows how dishes washed with soap dry with a greasy film unless you polish them. Well, my Dreft wash dishes drain dry, bright and sparkling. Even glasses sparkle without touching a towel to them.
Yes, ladies. Decide now to open up this bright new world of beauty for your nice things, for your fine washables, for your dishes. So get Dreft in the bright green package. Dreft, Procter & Gamble's amazing suds discovery that gives you faster, brighter, safer cleaning than any suds before in history. That's D-R-E-F-T, Dreft. Next time you shop, get Dreft.
Listen again next week, same time, when Teal, for a beautiful smile, brings you The Life of Riley for laughs.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a sentimental Mother's Day show from Family Theater. Family Theater was a mutual network show that had a religious message but was non-denominational. This is a heartwarming story about a mother who doesn't want her family to put her on a pedestal. She complains that the halo is too tight. Enjoy Family Theater, Mother's Halo Was Too Tight. First broadcast May 6, 1948 on Mutual.
The Mutual Broadcasting System, in cooperation with Family Theater Incorporated, presents Mother's Halo Was Tight, starring Virginia Bruce and John Beale. Gene Kelly is your host.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Family Theater makes a special dedication of this program to the mothers of America, to the women who, through the generations of our history, have played an important part in the work of building not only the homes, not only the schools, but the spirit of this nation. They have brought to their work the ideals of belief in God and in the principles upon which our democracy is founded. The light touch of humor in tonight's play is done with a feeling that under the dignity, poise, and charm of American womanhood, there is the same understanding, tolerance, and humor that have become our basic national traits. In this program, therefore, we pay tribute to the American mothers. rich in kindness and faith and unafraid of sentiment. We pay tribute to all they are doing to bring back spiritual values into home life and to return all families to the important practice of daily family prayer in their homes.
Gene Kelly will return following tonight's family theater play, starring Virginia Bruce and John Beale in Mother's Halo Was Tight. Sometimes things happen in the springtime that don't usually happen at any other time in the year. And in a household, it isn't always easy to face these situations. In this particular case, Father had decided that the solution to the problem was a spanking for Bobby. If you were Bobby's father, you might have decided the same way. And of course, if you were Bobby's mother, you'd be listening outside the door. And you might hear something like this.
Well, son, I know this is a corny old phrase, but it seems to fit. I just want to say that this is going to hurt me much more than it does you.
The spanking is, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I suppose we might as well get it over with. Bend over my knee, son.
But look, Dad, how can it hurt you more than me?
Because it hurts in a different way.
You mean in a different place?
No, I mean exactly what I said. Now, come on, let's get this over with.
But look, Dad, you always say you want me to understand things. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You're not just stalling, are you, Bobby?
No, honest, Dad.
Well, there's no use trying to put this off, you know. It's going to hurt just as much later on.
I'm not trying to put it off, Dad. I just don't understand what you mean, honest.
Well, all right, I'll try to explain it. When I say a spanking hurts me more than it does you, I mean it hurts me, well, here in my heart.
Gee, Dad, you mean you got some kind of heart trouble?
No, there's nothing wrong with my heart. What I'm trying to say is that it hurts me deeply to think that you'd do a thing like what you did today to deserve this punishment. And I think you do deserve it.
I'm sorry I did it, Dad. I'm awful sorry now that I thought it over.
Well, you should have thought it over before you did it.
Yeah, I know that now, Dad. I guess it was kind of a dopey thing to do.
Playing hooky is a very serious offense, Bobby. And besides, think of the worry you caused your mother.
Yeah, Dad, but there wasn't much doing in school, and it was a nice warm afternoon.
I'm not talking about the weather, Bobby.
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking of your poor mother. Just think how she must have felt when your teacher called up and said you'd disappeared during recess. Well, she didn't know what could have happened to you. Maybe you'd wandered off the school grounds and got lost or been in an accident or something.
Did she really think that?
Of course she did. And there she was, helpless. She couldn't go try to find you because I had the car. She couldn't call me at the office because I was out on the golf course. She couldn't...
The golf course? What are you doing out there, Dad?
Playing golf.
Oh.
Well, there wasn't much doing at the office. It was such a nice, warm afternoon, I thought it wouldn't...
You mean you were playing hooky too, Dad?
Well, in a manner of speaking, I guess you... Yes.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Nothing, just... Oh.
Oh.
Well, let's get this over, Dad.
Get what over?
The spanking.
Oh, yes, the spanking. I've been thinking, son. Maybe we could put this off for a while.
No use trying to put it off, Dad. It's going to hurt just as much later on.
I'm not trying to put it off. I just want a little time to think this over. I'll tell you what. You pile into bed now, and I'll come back a little later.
It's awful early to go to sleep, Dad.
Well, get into bed anyway. You can read or something.
Hey, I know. I almost forgot. I got to do some homework.
Well, this is a fine time to remember that.
Well, you see, Dad, with everything happening, and I didn't have a chance. I can do it right in bed. All I gotta do is write a composition on Mother for Mother's Day.
On Mother, huh? Well, all right, hop into bed. Here's your pencil and your tablet. You do your work, and I'll be back in, half an hour.
To give me a spanking?
I've told you, son, I haven't decided about that yet. Now, you get to work. I'll be back later.
Okay, Dad. Let's see. My Mother, a composition by Robert Williams Jr.
Hello, you hard-hearted father.
Oh, you've been eavesdropping out here in the hall, huh, Kathy?
Why not? It's my own house, my own husband, and my own son. How'd you make out?
Well, you must have heard. As I'd say in court, the defense produced new evidence, requiring a recess to consider parallels and precedents.
In other words, the prosecutor suddenly realized that the prisoner's a chip off the old block, and the spanking's out.
Quiet, he'll hear you.
Let's go in the living room.
Besides, I'm not so sure the spanking is out. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Oh, you're so funny, Bob.
Funny? How?
Well, when you came home, you were bound and determined you were going to give him a spanking, whether or no. And now you're weakening by the minute.
No, I'm not. I still say he deserves punishment for his rank disobedience, for the worry he caused you.
No, he won't do it again, Bob. And besides, spanking, well, you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I know. You're one of those women who think you can't get anything into a boy's head by paddling the other end.
Well, that isn't the way I put it, but... Hey, Bob, don't sit down there. That's my speech.
What? All these papers? Speech? About what?
Well, here, let me get it out of your way. It's a talk I'm going to give at the women's club tomorrow for Mother's Day.
That's all? Say, this Mother's Day is certainly turning out to be a major industry around here. Bobby's writing a piece about it, too.
So I heard.
You two ought to get together. You might be able to swap a few ideas.
Well, I'm afraid my ideas wouldn't go very well in his composition.
Oh, advanced, huh?
Mm-hmm. You could almost say revolutionary.
How can you get revolutionary about Mother's Day? What's the title of your speech? Mothers of the World Fight Back?
Oh, don't be silly.
I'm not being silly. I just want to find out.
Well, if you're really interested.
Of course I am.
Well, you know our women's club, Bob.
Just to tip my hat to.
Oh, you're not interested.
Sure I am. Honest. Go on. I'll listen.
Well, we always feel that we ought to be independent, progressive. We women should keep up with the world.
Oh, nothing too much wrong with that idea.
So I thought that at our meeting tomorrow, I'd ask the chair's permission to give a short talk on a modern mother's viewpoint on Mother's Day.
Fine. But what's so revolutionary about that?
Well, I'd really have to read the speech to you to explain it, Bob.
Why don't you?
Oh, you'd rather read the paper, I know.
When I can be read to by my lovely wife, do I look crazy?
You're sweet, Bob.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him down at the courthouse. Well, let's hear the speech now. Come on, Kathy, darling. Give out.
Well, I would appreciate your opinion of it. That is, how it would strike you if you were the women's club.
Oh, well, that'll take a bit of doing, but I'll make a stab at it. Okay, I'm the women's club. I'm 75 beautiful and intelligent ladies, modernly progressive. You have the floor, madam, and I'm giving you all my attention. Now, go ahead.
Madam Chairman, fellow members of the Women's Club, since the time of Mother Eve... I wonder if I should wear my blue gabardine or maybe that flowered print would be better. Do you think so?
Now, that's a great opening for a speech. Fools the audience. They think you're going to talk about Mother's Day, and it turns out to be clothes.
Oh, you.
Oh, you too. Let's have the speech, huh, darling?
Blue gabardine, I guess.
Speech, speech.
All right. Here I go. Since the time of Mother Eve, we mothers have been the recipients of more poems, songs, and hymns of praise than any other group of mortals. Mm-hmm. Lyrics have been written in our honor. Put them all together, they spell mother.
Hear, hear.
Poets have composed verses like... Well, there are a lot of verses, Bob, but I haven't got a quotation for that yet. And on May 10th, 1913, Congress passed a resolution commending the annual observance of Mother's Day. Incidentally, Bob, I checked that date in the encyclopedia.
As the women's club, I was just about to rush home in a body and look it right up. Go on, darling, go on.
Well, then stop interrupting. I am not saying, ladies, that such adulation is not pleasant. We all like to be honored and revered. But as a modern, progressive, busy mother, I feel that there's a danger of letting our halos go to our heads. This Mother's Day, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's admit we're not endowed with any extraordinary powers, that we're not the saints or always the angels the songs say we are, but that we do appreciate how important is our job of raising our families. And there, too, let's be honest. Let's admit that many times it's the families who raise us. In other words, well, let me give you an example. One Saturday afternoon, last year, about this time, Bobby, he's my oldest, well, he came into the kitchen.
Hi, Mom. Got anything to eat?
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I think you're just an appetite with skin on it. You'll find some cookies over there in the jar, I think.
Okay, Mom. I'll take a look. Oh, boy, chocolate ones.
Don't take too many, Bobby. It's only a couple of hours till dinner.
I only took six. Mmm. You make slow cookies, Mom.
Where have you been all afternoon, darling?
Playing baseball down the street.
Oh? I looked down there a few minutes ago. I didn't see any boys playing.
We played around the corner.
Oh, I didn't think to look around. Bobby, let me look at you.
Something the matter?
How'd your hair get wet?
One of the kids had a squirt gun.
Bobby?
Yeah, Mom. He shot it right at me. Gee, I had an awful battle with him.
Robert, you're not telling me the truth.
You can ask any of the kids.
You've been swimming, haven't you? I wish you'd tell me the truth, son. Have you been swimming?
Yeah.
Down at the river?
Yeah, Mom.
I think your father talked to you about that just last week, didn't he? Didn't he tell you that water's contaminated and that he didn't want you going down there under any conditions?
Yes, ma'am.
I realize, Robert, what a temptation a swimming hole can be on a warm day, particularly if the other boys were all going in.
They were, Mom, honest.
But the thing I can't excuse is you're telling me a direct untruth.
You mean a lie?
Well, that's an ugly word, but it's the right one to use because it's an ugly thing. I don't want you ever to lie to me again, Robert.
Okay, Mom. I won't, honest.
When you've done something wrong, you make it worse by trying to lie out of it. No matter what happens, always tell the truth. You'll find as you grow older... Oh, you answer that, will you, Bobby?
Sure. Hello?
Hello, Bobby. Is your mother there?
Yeah, just a second. For you, Mom. Sounds like Mrs. Smith.
I wonder what she wants. Hello?
Oh, Mrs. Williams. How are you?
Rather busy, as usual. And you?
Oh, I'm in a state, Mrs. Williams. Jim's coming in on the chief, and I've got to drive down to the station to meet him. And the girl who was coming to stay with the baby hasn't shown up. I don't know what to do.
Oh, dear.
I was wondering, would it be too much trouble for you to come over and sit with him, Mrs. Williams? It'll only be an hour or so.
Only an hour or so, she said, but I knew from past experience it would be 2 hours at least. 2 hours out of a busy afternoon.
Hello, Mrs. Williams.
It would be so easy to say no. No, I couldn't come, that I was just going out on an important engagement and Bob was waiting for me in the car to tell her a white lie.
Mrs. Williams, are you there?
And then I looked around at Bobby, at those clear, steady child's eyes watching me, and perhaps guessing my thoughts, perhaps knowing that lie that was in my mind. I turned back to the phone.
Hello? Mrs. Williams?
Yes, Mrs. Smith, yes. I'll be right over.
Oh, thank you.
That's what my son taught me that day, simply by a look. I guess for all of us, telling the truth is a hard lesson to learn. But since then, whenever I think a lie will get around something, I see his eyes watching me, and I think and I hope that I'll always stick to the truth. I know that every mother in this women's club may have had similar experiences. I had another one that I'll laugh at for a long time to come, though it didn't seem very funny at the time. Bobby had been at summer camp, so I went up to get him, and we were driving back in the car. Somehow we got to talking about police.
special one ever hurt you, Mom?
No, Bobby. Policemen are your best friends. Never be afraid of them.
But they carry guns and things.
Well, of course. That's to protect you against bad people. That's what policemen are for.
And traffic cops?
Same thing. They protect you against bad drivers. They arrest people who drive too fast.
Is that why that one is following us right now, Mom?
Yes, probably he's... What? Where?
Right behind us on a motorcycle. Don't you see him?
Oh, I better slow down.
Hey, what gives? Pull over, lady.
Gee, Mom, we almost bumped right in the back of our car.
What are you trying to do, lady? Pile up a whole string of cars?
No, I'm sorry, officer. I saw you behind me and I slowed down and, well, I guess the brakes grabbed.
Anybody ever tell you you're supposed to put your hand out when you're going to stop?
Well, of course I know, but I stopped so quickly I didn't have time.
All right, let me see your driver's license.
Yes, sir. It's right here in my purse. Well, that's strange. I think maybe it's in my other purse.
Oh, no driver's license.
Oh, I have a driver's license, officer. The trouble is, well, I don't have it with me.
I understand. That's something else for this ticket.
Ticket?
Driving without a license. Stopping without a proper hand signal.
Yeah, but, officer, I told you my brakes grabbed.
Yeah? And faulty brakes.
Oh, but look, officer. Now, if you'll get in touch with my husband, I'm sure he'll explain this to you. He's Robert Williams, the attorney.
Well, that's good for you, lady. You'll need an attorney for this ticket. You know, you could have caused a serious accident on a main highway.
But you don't understand. The only reason I slowed down at all was because I saw you behind me, and I was afraid I was driving too fast.
You've got a guilt complex, lady. You weren't driving over the speed limit.
Oh, dear.
No reason to get excited just because you see a cop, lady. You stay here till I get your license number.
Gee, Mom, you sure were right. Cops aren't anything to be afraid of. He's a nice man.
Isn't he, though? A lovely person. That was one lesson I tried to teach Bobby where I ended impressing myself. But the finest thing that Bobby helped me teach myself was another law, the greatest of all laws. It was one Sunday morning. Hurry up, Bobby. You'll be late for church and Sunday school.
Oh, gee, Mom. I have to go to school every day and then on Sundays, too. Why do I have to go to Sunday school?
Well, because Daddy and I want you to learn about God, Bobby.
Did you ever go to Sunday school when you were a little girl and learn about God?
Of course I did. Every Sunday.
Then you know all about God, Mom?
Yes, a little. You better run along now, Bobby. You'll be late.
Okay, Mom. See you after a while.
Goodbye, darling.
Bye.
And be careful crossing the streets. That morning, he wasn't careful crossing the street. The car that swerved around the corner, and I don't want to tell you about it, but I do want to tell you what he helped me learn that afternoon in the hospital. Lying so still and pale in that little bed, and when he opened his eyes and looked up at me.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, darling.
I didn't get to Sunday school.
No, but you'll go again.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Would you ask God if I can, Mom?
Ask God?
You know how to ask him, Mom. You said you learned all about him.
Yes.
Just ask him for me, Mom, will you? That's all you gotta do. Just ask him.
All right. All right, baby. Yes, that was something I learned, something I had forgotten. The simple faith of my own child, his trust in me and in God. We mothers sometimes don't deserve all the credit we get, because it's through our children we often learn a little more of the real meaning and purpose of life. You know, there'll be a lot of sentiment directed at us on Mother's Day, but let's take it with a grain of salt. Between us girls, we know we're not wearing wings and halos. We're just women who are trying to do a good job in our own homes. And we're learning the job as we go along. Thank you for your attention. Well, how was it, Bob?
As the 75 ladies of the Women's Club, I'm now applauding you roundly.
Thank you, ladies.
However, as your husband, I'm disagreeing with you.
Disagreeing? Why, Bob?
Well, there's something wrong in that speech. I can't put my finger on it, but let me think about it. Maybe I'd better go into Bobby's room and settle that spanking first.
Oh, dear, I'd forgotten about that.
I'll bet he hasn't. He's been lying in there waiting for me to make up my mind. Poor kid.
You mean he isn't going to get a spanking?
Give that lady 64 silver dollars.
Thanks for deciding against it, Bob.
Oh, I guess I just got steamed up when I came home and found him out of line. Excuse me, darling. I'll go break the news to him.
No, I'll come along and tuck him in.
Swell.
Say, Bob, I'm anxious to know. Now, why do you disagree with my talk?
Well, I don't know exactly, Kathy. Your major premise is sound enough. Your illustrations are good, and your summation is all right.
And that's faint praise, if I ever heard faint praise. And I have.
It's just that... Well, we'll talk about it after we say goodnight to Bobby, huh? Well, young fella, I came to break the news... Look at him.
He's sound asleep with the light on.
Oh, the poor kid was tired. He fell asleep right in the middle of that composition he was writing.
Take the pencil and paper out of his hand, Bob. I'll cover him up.
Okay. Good night, son.
Bless you, Bobby.
Take a look at this, Kathy.
My mother, a composition by Robert Williams, Jr. My, what handwriting.
Bad as mine. Here, let me see if I can read it. My mother is a very nice lady who is married to my father.
Oh, that's what the theater people call second billing.
Well, at least I get mentioned. My mother is kind and good and never tells lies. She always obeys laws. She's a good cook, too. I think my mother is a saint.
A what?
Saint, he says. S-A-N-T. He means saint, of course. Just left out the I.
Well, I'll certainly straighten him out on that in the morning. In the first place, I'm not a saint. And in the second place, his spelling is terrible.
It's as good as yours.
Bob Williams.
That's true. You know something, Kathy? I've just realized what's wrong with your Mother's Day talk. The thing I couldn't quite put my finger on before. You spoke of mothers as a class and of motherhood as a job. It isn't that.
Well, then what is it?
Well, motherhood to everybody in the world means just one thing. It means the best mother who ever lived. His own mother. And she, that one mother, stands for everything Bobby's put down here. For kindness, goodness, truth, and, well, for sainthood.
But, Bob, that's the point I was trying to make. Modern mothers don't want that kind of reverence.
I know. And that's why I said your spelling is as bad as Bobby's. You left out the I, too. What you mean to Bobby. And that's the whole significance of motherhood to everybody. All mothers mean only one mother. That's the way it's got to be.
You mean I've got to wear a halo, even if it's too tight?
That's right. Mother.
Mother. You know something, Bob?
What?
That's a very beautiful word.
This is Gene Kelly again. Well, mothers, it looks as though we gave you a halo tonight. But it's a halo with a lot of happiness. For there's a lot of happiness in homes that are blessed with parents who give their children the ideals of good home life. Today you hear many opinions about what children should be taught. But the greatest lesson children learn is from the example of their parents. As wife and mother, the American woman is the soul of her family, and upon her depends in great part the awakening of spiritual values in a home. the harmony and unity that should be in every home, the continuous remembrance of God, and the daily practice of family prayer. For in praying together as a family, there is the inspiration of example. There is the strengthening of family bonds. It means the family that prays together stays together. Before saying goodnight, I'd like to thank Virginia Bruce and John Beale for their performances this evening. Our thanks to D.H. Johnson for writing tonight's play and to Max Turr for his music. This production of Family Theater Incorporated was directed by David Young. Others who appeared in tonight's play were Henry Blair, Florence Ravenel, and Charles Maxwell. Next week, our Family Theater stars will be John Lund and Donna Reed in Song for a Long Road. Your host will be Glenn Langan. This is Gene Kelly saying good night and God bless you.
This series of the Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who felt the need for this kind of program, by the Mutual Broadcasting System, which has responded to this need. Be with us next week at the same time when our Family Theater stars will be John Lund and Donna Reed with Glenn Langan as host. Dick Wynn speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.